refresh, refuel, and refire for 2015. And we're going to start in the refreshing zone. Everybody like to get to that refreshing zone? Yes. We've been to Disney World a few times, and there's a few, they call them the cool zones down there. Coke has them set up. They have a little mist, a little spray, and because you're hot down there, you just hit that cool zone. Well, there's a time of refreshing in the Lord. And if we'll go to Acts 3:19, it's pretty much the keynote scripture that the Lord gave me for the time of refreshing. Acts 3:19, Peter said, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Why? So that times of refreshing may come from where? The presence of the Lord. I want us to just start. That's Acts 3:19. Let's just start, and we're going to read Acts chapter 3. I'm going to read it, and you're going to read along with me. But we're going to get the full gist of this, we need to hear the heart of what it is, the heart of God, about being refreshed. Acts chapter 3. "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the time of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who when they saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, they asked alms from them. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up." Peter believed what he said. "And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." He needed help. He needed to reach out there. When he reached out, guess what? That same anointing that was on Peter came upon the beggar. Amen. And he gave strength came into his bones. And he stood up leaping and walked into the temple with them, leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Verse 11, "And as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this?'" See, it was becoming normal to Peter. He was with Jesus 3.5 years. This was normal to him. But this is God's ultimate plan from the beginning. "Why do you marvel at this, or look at us intently as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses." Verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled." Verse 19, our keynote. "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restorations of all things, of all his holy prophets since the world began. 22, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says you to do. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers Abraham, saying to him, Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." What a story. Awesome testimony of the love. See, Jesus is still doing the work. He's walking with his disciples right there, Peter and John. So what is the refreshing that Peter was referring to here, that times of refreshing would come? And that's God's heart for the day. That when you're downtrodden, you're beaten, you're about ready to give up, we need times of refreshing. And it's been poured out. Let's look and go to the book of Isaiah and see what Peter, this was the what Peter was talking about here. The prophets were saying, Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 12. And we all need this. There's no super saints that don't need to be refreshed. Amen? Amen. Times of refreshing. Verses 9 through 12. "Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breast? For precept must be upon precept." He said it again, "precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little." Verse 11, "For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest." That word rest is that refreshing. And what Peter is talking about is what just happened. That man, that lame man got refreshed. He was talking about the Spirit of God on the inside of Peter was released by faith. And he was refreshed. He was made, his whole body was strengthened by that power. And what Peter was referring to was back to Isaiah 28, who seen these days and prophesied that with another tongue, talking about tongues that was given out on the day of Pentecost. It's praying in the power of the Spirit. Now, Peter and John didn't pray in tongues, but they had been. The Bible says when we pray in our most holy faith, we build ourselves up praying in our most holy faith. See, they had been doing that, praying in the Spirit, and they were built up. It's kind of like you can't give somebody something you don't have. If you have a dead battery out there, Mark, you go turn the key, what's going to happen? You ain't going nowhere. But if you got one that's got somebody down the road that's got a good battery, you come put your jumper cables on it and you give them a boost. Well, that's what Peter done to that lame man. He gave him a boost of the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost that anointed Jesus while he was on the earth. Well, Jesus is no longer on the earth, but you are, and I am. And we need that refreshing so we can help refresh somebody else. That's what Peter was talking about, these times. He didn't say a time of refreshing. He said times, plural, of refreshing. Yes. We need times of refreshing, downtime, to be in the presence of the Lord. Also, let's turn back. Let's go back to the New Covenant now. And Paul reminded us here in 1 Corinthians the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21 through 22. This chapter is dealing more with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, prophecy and tongues, the gifts that were functioning through the church. Let's read verse 20. "Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet for all that, what? They will not hear." That's what Stephen was stoned for. He was trying to get them to see, I've met Jesus. I've received what he said. I have received the Spirit. Not the letter of the law, it killeth. But the Spirit, it gives life. And what Stephen was saying, they rejected him and stoned him. They gnashed at him with their teeth because he was telling them about the same thing Peter was saying. You stoned, you had the Prince of Life crucified, but you did it ignorantly. Repent, therefore. Just repent. Just turn. Just ask for forgiveness. Repent. That's where the presence, that's where your refreshing starts, is in repentance. Just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I missed it. I need your strength. I need you, Lord, in the presence of the Lord. A time of refreshing. This refreshing was referring to the rest of God that he had intended for his people to enter into in the old covenant, the children of Israel. But they would not follow the prophets. For examples, Moses, Joshua, Jeremiah, all those prophets were declaring what the thus saith the Lord. They were hearing what God was telling them and delivering it to the people. And the people, the majority of them, would not listen, would not hear. And the Bible tells us obedience is better than sacrifice. Just do what God says to do. Amen. So he can bless you, get a blessing to you. This rest, these times of refreshing, have been made available to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered all the neglect, all the ridicule, all the persecution, all the sickness, all disease of all time. But greater of all that was the separation from his Father. That was his time of refreshing. When Jesus had multitudes thronging him, he did the works of God, but it came a point to where he had to leave. He had to go and he had to get away by himself with the Father. And he had a time of refreshing. See, his spirit had to be renewed. It had to be strengthened. And he knew you can't do that just by water and bread. You got to do that in the presence of the Lord. And he went and he spent some time with his Father in prayer, just meditating, thinking about the Scripture, just talking to him, saying, Lord, Father, I thank you. I'm sure he was thanking him for all the things that he did that day, for things that he's seen, people healed, lives touched, devils cast out. But more than that, he was like, Lord, Father, I just thank you. Now I just want to fellowship with you and tell you thank you for sending me to this people so I can be a blessing. And just adoration in the presence of his Father. And that gave him strength for his next task. That rest is still available every day. But what are we doing? We're caught up in the limelight of everything that's going on. And that's where the devil... Sometimes we get so busy doing things for God that we neglect him. In other words, doing things for people that are good things, but we haven't spent quality throne time with Father. And a lot of times we're not refreshed and we're giving them a word that's really dry, where it could be filled with power like Peter had. Anointed, full of power, believing it. Peter knew, I don't have my wallet on me today. My wife took everything I had the other day. But such as I do have, I, in the name of Jesus, arise. A doctor, a hospital couldn't get that for him. But what he had on the inside could, and he gave it to him. He didn't pray. He didn't stop and pray. Peter, John, pray with me. We're going to pray. No, he said, such as I have, give I thee. You got something. We got something to give. And it's faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done. And I'm preaching this to myself. I'm preaching myself happy up here. I'm speaking to my bank account. There's not a dollar in that wallet, I tell you right now. Because I got four kids. And they know if something's in that wallet, they're going to get it. Rowan quarters me out, boy. Praise God. The video games in heaven do not have a quarter slot. No quarter slots. Play as long as you want. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to leave that all the way through the service down there. I am receiving. God's filling that wallet, Terry. He's filling the church, but he's filling that wallet. Hallelujah. So I can have to give. You know, Larry's not here this morning, but I seen him Christmas Sunday. I say Christmas Sunday. He had a sandwich bag, had some $5 bills in it, and he was tallying them out. He was giving them to where he was being a blessing. He better, Colette, you better get a big sack ready. Hallelujah, look at there. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When we start out with a sandwich bag, God turns it what back into a hefty bag. One of them hefty bags. That's right. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. God causes those gifts to come back to us. Power. Times of refreshing. That's what they do. This rest has been made available through us, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Times of refreshing start when we enter in to the presence of the Lord. Tammy helped get us there as she sang that song for us the other Sunday. Thursday morning. Enter into His presence with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. We might not be feeling like we ought to give Him some praise, but our spirit does. See, that's where it comes from. It comes from the inside out, not from the outside in. In the presence of the Lord, let's turn and read a story about a Samaritan woman in the book of John. You know, sometimes the Lord will just give me a scripture. Sometimes we need to read. Read the whole story and see what's going on. John 4, the Samaritan woman. I'm going to read verses 1 through 26. Follow along with me here. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples baptized, Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. I wonder why. We're going to find out in a little bit. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied, does Jesus get tired? Yes, he does. He was wearied. He was tired. He was wearied from his journey. He sat down by the well. Now, this ain't no just fire the spigot up, Cecil, and get some water. This is a well. You got to get something down there and draw it out. In other words, you're going to break a sweat getting through the water and getting it up before you even get any. Thank God for technology, right? That they, you know, sometimes we think, I'd like to have been back here and living and walk when Jesus walked and been in that area. And like, yeah, you have to be out there pumping, drawing water from a well. And you know, you don't have no instant heat on the wall, Maldy. You got to go get some wood, throw it in the stone fireplace. We got it good, don't we? But that's okay. Jesus said, we're in a different age. Enjoy it. Now, Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, being weary from his journey, sat by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Common to say, he's thirsty. Give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that said to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Oh, Jesus is throwing something in here. This is getting her curiosity up now. Living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you think you're going to get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water. Okay, he's done convinced her something. Okay, I'm ready. Give me the water that I may not thirst and not have to come here and draw again. See, there's a lot of work in getting that water out. Somebody can give me some water while I never thirst again. I'll take it. And Jesus said to her, here's her truth test. Talked about truth earlier. Thy word is truth. Being obedient to truth. Walking in love. You're going to prosper and be in health. Here's her truth test. See, God doesn't test us with evil, but he'll test us with the truth. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, you have no husband, for you have had... Uh-oh, getting into her stuff now. He's starting to meddle a little bit now. Holy Spirit, this gift of knowledge is starting to operate. Jesus didn't... I'm going to paraphrase. I don't think Jesus knew the woman was coming. Now, he may have, it doesn't say. But Jesus was weary. He sat down to... Well, he was thirsty. He was tired. His disciples were going to go get the food and probably go get a water pot so they'd have some water. He didn't... I'm not sure if he knew the Samaritan woman was coming. But she did. Amen? And now she's going to have a little story, a little testimony to tell. For you have had five husbands, and the one you have is not your husband. Uh-oh. Think she wanted to just tuck and run? Leave her water pot and run? In that you spoke truly. He didn't condemn her. He just said, in that you spoke truly. And he left. Now he's silent, and he's waiting on her reply. The woman said, "Sir, I perceive that you be a prophet." Give him some adoration now. "That thou beest a prophet. Our fathers worshipped..." Now she's going to go into the word. Give him a little bit of truth. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." The devil knows the word, but he don't know the truth. There's no truth in him, right? See, he's got the word, but there's no truth in it. Jesus said to her, "Woman..." And woman was just a phrase back then. I'd say mama. He said, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You know, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and what? And truth." See, she wasn't in that truth. She wasn't in the spirit either. "For the Father is seeking such to worship him." God is what? God is spirit. And those who worship him must, not maybe, not in the flesh, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell me all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Wow. Mm-mm-mm. Just try to take some of all this in right now. And the Lord just mentioned to me that I don't know if Jesus knew she was coming. But here she comes. Jesus doesn't have anything to get any water out. But she's got the water pot. And she showed up. Times are refreshing. Jesus was there to get refreshed by water, by this well, because he was wearied on her journey. But I would say, but little did he know, there was a Samaritan woman coming who needed times of refreshing. And she came to that well expecting just to get water that she normally gets. But that day, she got refreshed with living water, living words of truth, of love, spoken by the Master at a well. Awesome. That was an awesome time of refreshing that she received. God is a spirit, and we just heard that. And Jesus said, those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This year, we must get back to the basics of our faith. And I'm speaking to myself. The basics of Christianity 101. We have to spend more time in God's presence, in his presence. And we can only do that in the spirit. You say, well, how do I do that? I got to meditate. I got to get down like yoga and cross my legs and guys do all that. No. In the spirit is where the worship begins. It's in your innermost person. It's your spirit. That means you're going to have to cut the TV off. You're going to have to cut the music off. Maybe not the music. You've got worship music. But you're going to have to cut this brain off and let that spirit, the spirit that God created in a new spirit, worship him. Just get into his presence. Just talk to him like you talk to your wife or talk to your best friend. Just worship him in spirit and in truth. Just be truthful with him. Lord, this is what's going on. See, that's a lot of times where faith, we can get out of the ditch one area. We just think we go in denial that we're not believing this ain't happening. Now, we're not talking about denial. We're people of faith. But we need to be honest with the Lord. Lord, you know, like Mary was. She was honest with the angel. How shall this be? I don't know a man. Lord, how am I going to get this working in my life, Lord? I need some help. I need time. This is times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. And if you don't hear something immediately, don't think He's not listening. But just be still. And if you still don't hear nothing, then open up the Word and get in there. If you don't have enough Word volume in you, it ain't that God ain't speaking. It's just maybe you haven't got the Word in there you need to hear. Seek me with all your heart, and then you'll find me. In other words, are you seeking this because it's truth in there? Or are we just seeking it because we know it's the right thing to do? See, we can read the Word, but then there's reading the Word. Then there's becoming the Word. That's a good one right there. Becoming the Word. Jesus became, the Word became flesh. Amen? Wow, there's a lot right there. Becoming all that God has created us to be. In His presence. There's nothing that mounts, that can light a candle to God's presence. His presence. We cannot touch God in our flesh. And we're going to have goosebumps experiences. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. And that's okay. But that's not how we worship God in spirit and in truth. We worship Him knowing Him. Whether I feel anything or not, I know Him. And I believe Him. And I trust Him. And I obey Him. And I follow Him. And I'll speak for Him. And I'll testify for Him. Even though we can't see Him there, I know in whom I have believed, Paul said. And that's how he pressed on in this earth. We cannot touch God in our flesh. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth, in the Holy Ghost and in the Word of God. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. We must worship Him in spirit, in the Holy Ghost, and in the Word of God. The Word of God and the Spirit, they agree. See, I'm sharing the Word here. But you are the only one that can connect with the Holy Spirit. I cannot connect you to the Holy Spirit. I heard Pastor Gary say it one time. He just had a message and he wanted to take your head and flip it back and just pour that message into you. Try to get it in there. But see, we can't do that. We can't get it in there. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. He's got to become your teacher. He's got to become your counselor, your comforter, the one you really trust and rely on. The pastor, we're here for you. We're here to pray and get the Word that you might be struggling in your flesh, you can't hear, and we get it there too, but then you've got to take it further. You've got to meditate. You've got to spend some time in the presence of the Lord. Meditate upon that holy mountain. That holy mountain. In the presence of the Lord, help me out here. There's only three I put in my PowerPoint. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of what, Terry? Joy. Terry took us to joy, unspeakable joy. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. I didn't add this one, but if you got your joy full, then the joy of the Lord is your strength. So now you're getting times of refreshing. Now I'm getting strong. Sickness and disease has to be loosed because I'm getting strong. In the spirit man, the spirit member, that water, that times of refreshing comes from the inside out, not from the outside in. In the presence of the Lord, there's peace. The Prince of Peace. That peace that passes all understanding. See, that's a stillness. I was just silent right there, but see, there was a stillness there. That's where we need to be in the presence of the Lord, just still. But then have a knowing on the inside, the peace of God, that He's going to take care of this. That's the rest. That's that time of refreshing. Know that even though Jesus was in the middle of a storm, He went to sleep because He had the perfect peace of God. That was His pillow. He had a pillow of peace. He laid His head down on peace and went to sleep. Knowing where He was going, He told the disciples, we're going to the other side because there's others I've got to reach out to. That was His destination. In the presence of the Lord, I like this one. There's rest for the weary. Say that with me. There's rest for the weary. Don't think that you're such a man or woman of faith that you're not going to get weary. Or the Bible would, Paul would not have said, or was it James that said, don't grow weary in well-doing. We're going to get weary doing well things, doing good things, doing God things. It's going to drag us down sometimes. But there is a rest for the people of God. It's in the Spirit of God, which is on the inside of you, on the inside of me. But there's a key to getting it out. We got to have the water pot. See, Jesus didn't have the water pot, but he had the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's all he needed. He was on the mount. Moses was on the mount with God 40 days. In the presence of God, he neither hungered nor thirsted because he was in God's presence. See, his spirit overruled his flesh, and he survived. That's how we're going to thrive in the earth, is spending that quality time in the presence of the Lord, in the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, praying in our most holy faith. And if you haven't received that power that was talked about in the book of Acts, they were all in one mind and one accord. And that's what we are at this church. We believe. See, that's the big thing. We believe in that experience. If you've been in a church that hasn't believed or taught that, that church is not in one mind and one accord about that. And you're not going to receive that. You cannot receive anything from the pulpit that is not believed from that pulpit in that church. Now, you can go out and then somebody minister life and truth to you, and you can receive it. But you're not going to receive anything from me that I don't believe, unless you receive it straight from God. But what I'm saying is, we believe that. We're in one mind and one accord about that. And Jesus is the baptizer. He was baptized by the Holy Spirit. And once you get born again, you're baptized into the body of Christ. But there's another experience of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And that means I get to praise God well. I can pray in the Holy Ghost. I can pray. I'm praying the perfect prayer unto God. I'm praising Him well. Do I know what I said just then? No. But I believe that it's a time of refreshing. I'm building that relationship with the Holy Spirit, and I'm speaking mysteries unto God. Amen. And through that comes dreams and visions that I'm opening myself up to His ministry, and it's all about others. Praying in the Holy Ghost and building myself up, there's a personal tongue that builds me up. But most of the gifts, I'd say all the gifts, are for others. It's not about me. It's about building my relationship with God, learning of Him, empowered with Him to go out and bring and see the lame walk, to see the deaf ears opened up, the blind eyes opened up, manifestation of God's healing power. That's the times of we have to have those times of refreshing so that we can take others and go out and refresh them. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. There is rest for the weary. There is a rest. A time of refreshing. This is our first step into the new year. And it's not just this year. It's going to be every year. At this time, I've got a song I'm going to let the song play, and I'm going to be obedient to the Spirit of God. If you need to close your eyes, pray in the Holy Spirit. I know there's already prayer requests from Michelle, but if you need prayer as this song is praying, I want you to lift your hand. I don't want you to tell me what you need, because it's not about me today. But I'm going to come over there, and I'm going to agree, and I'm going to pray as the Spirit gives me the utterance, and we're just going to see the power of God released. And as we're in His presence. Can we agree with that? And like I say, you put your hand up, we're there to agree. But still, this is your time with God. If you don't need to put your hand up, there's something personal you need to share with Him. He knows all the intents of our heart. He knows what you need.
Be the presence of the Lord is in this place. In the midst of His children, the Lord said He would be. It doesn't take very many. It can be just two or three. And I feel the same sweet Spirit that I felt oft times before. Surely I can say that I've been with the Lord. Surely
touch around us as God's glory fills this place. I've touched the hem of His garment, and I can no more.